You are Locked On Mets, your daily New York Mets podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello to all you amazing Mets fans. You're listening to Locked On Mets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Locked On Mets is free and available on all platforms, including YouTube. The New York Mets got blown out on Wednesday night. Corbin Burnes was dealing for the Brewers, and the Mets had a rough time keeping them off the board. A 7-run inning really made all the difference for Milwaukee in that one. I'll talk about that game a bit in the first segment, but what I want to do in the second segment is really focus in on the Atlanta Braves. Is this the time to panic? They've now picked up a ton of games in this division. Is it time to be concerned? We'll talk about that. And also in the final segment, James McCann looks to be heading back to the Mets sooner rather than later. He'll begin a rehab assignment, so I'll talk about what that means for them as well. Before we get to any of that, though, I'm your host, Ryan Finkelstein. If you want to find any of my work, follow me on Twitter, at FinkelsteinRyan. You can also find some of my writing at JustBaseball.com, where I work as the managing editor. Today's episode is brought to you by Sports Card Investor. Download the Sports Card Investor app today and easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport, with hundreds more added each week. Available for free in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. The Braves have won 14 games in a row, which makes a 10-2 loss against the Brewers hurt that much more. But really, if we dive into this ballgame, and if I just tell you on the surface, you lost a game where it was David Peterson going up against the reigning Cy Young and Corbin Burnes, how would you really feel about it? Now, granted, you look at the lopsided score, the fact that the Mets lost 10-2, gave up 11 hits compared to only getting 5 hits. You know, the offense just wasn't quite firing on all cylinders today. They had some missed opportunities, only 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position. It wasn't their best game, but again, Corbin Burnes was on the other side, and he was dominant. The guy's got, some of the best stuff in baseball, if not the best stuff in baseball, at least, you know, when Jacob deGrom is sidelined last year. All the advanced metrics told us this guy was the best starting pitcher in the game, and that's why he won the Cy Young. And, you know, this season he didn't get off to the best of starts, but he's really started to come around a little bit lately, the last, you know, couple months. You know, he's really kind of turned it around after a rough first few starts. And he gets 8 strikeouts, only gives up 5 hits to 2 runs. Jeff McNeil hit a home run, so that was nice to see. But, I mean, this game really boiled down to the fifth inning where the Mets give up 7. And, you know, you can blame David Peterson, but really he gave up 4 runs and really didn't get a chance in that fifth inning. You know, he gets pulled after giving up a leadoff single. They go to Jake Reed. Jake Reed was a disaster. And really that's the bottom line here is Jake Reed gave up a bunch of runs, a guy that's really the last man on your roster. So as much as we can spend a bunch of time dissecting this game and the fact that the Brewers offense came alive, I really can't, you know, take too much from it. I'll take more from tomorrow's game. If the Mets lose the final game of this series, then you can maybe have a reaction. But what the Mets have done this year is time and again, they win series. And here they are through 2 games of this one, and they're set up for a rubber match in this final game. They're going against Aaron Ashby, a left-handed starter. And in the past, you'd say that's a bad thing, but the Mets have fared much better as of late against the left-handed starters, and we'll see if they can do that again. Tyler McGill will be on the mound. McGill should at this point be fairly stretched out, and we know that McGill is very capable of going out and delivering a big-time performance and getting a series victory. But this was a game that you just have to kind of flush. I again, don't think that it's really worth spending too much time on it. The one thing I do want to talk about this game is that we saw the debut of the lineup I've been clamoring for, and it didn't quite work out, right? That lineup was having Eduardo Escobar DH and putting Louis Guillorme at third base, keeping Jeff McNeil at second, and then having the outfield defense as it's been throughout the year with Canna in left, Nimmo in center, and Marte in right. I think that this is the best defensive alignment we could see. We saw Guillorme make a nice play at third base. turning a double play, getting the ball hit right at him, going to the bag, throwing a runner out at second. They actually had a couple double plays like that. Lindor had one as well that was hit right at him at second base that they turned two on. But we'll see if this lineup gets a little more run that way. The one question mark now is Starling Marte. He got hit in the wrist. Early x-rays are negative. Just another little injury that we have to monitor here. I do think that the Mets are more capable of losing an outfielder right now as opposed to losing someone like a Pete Alonso or Francisco Lindor. If Marte were to go down for a short IL stint, I don't think it's the end of the world. They have Nick Plummer. They have Khalil Lee, who's now back in AAA Syracuse. They have Jake Mangum now back on the Syracuse roster after a short little bit there where he was out of the lineup with an injury. So they have some options. Jeff McNeil can play out in the outfield the way Guillorme has been hitting. I think they'll be fine if Marte does go down. But right now, no reason to be overly concerned because, again, early x-rays were negative. Hopefully he'll be back in the lineup, if not tomorrow in that upcoming series this weekend against the Marlins. That's all I have for this one, but we want to now switch gears here because the Atlanta Braves are red hot, and I'm sure there's a lot of Mets fans who are starting to panic. I think there is some warrant behind your concern with this Braves team. I don't think we ever counted them out. I think I've said many times this is the Mets division to lose, and I still think that's the case. I still have a lot of confidence that this Mets team will be able to keep the Braves at bay, but they're making a big push right now. And 14 wins in a row is something that you definitely have to take notice of. So we're going to go through what's been working for them during this winning streak and if the Mets should really start to be concerned in just a minute. But I want to welcome you to the world of sports cards reimagined with the Sports Card Investor app. This hobby's most powerful resource is there for you where you can quickly check the value of your favorite cards, find great deals, and profit from the hobby you love. It's available completely free in the Google Play or the Apple App Stores. The Sports Card Investor app is a must-have for baseball fans. You can easily browse over 630,000 cards from every sport with hundreds more added each week. Check the latest values of your favorite cards with 7-day or 30-day charts. Find the best prices and buy directly through the app with their eBay Deals feature. Whether you're interested in investing in prospect cards in hopes of finding that great steal who's going to turn into an incredible player and the value of that card will just skyrocket over the years, you can find that on the Sports Card Investor app. Also, if you want to, you know, get a little nostalgic and go back in time a bit, you can look at some of the cards of the past as well. Make sure you download the Sports Card Investor app today, which is available free again in the Google Play and Apple App Stores, or go to sportscardinvestor.com/lockedon. So the Atlanta Braves are red hot. Okay, they have the second longest winning streak in the modern era. It's really tough to continue to maintain a division lead when you have a team that is this hot, that's winning every single day. But if we really look through this winning streak that the Braves have had, I'm not trying to discredit it at all. It's incredible to win 14 games in a row. Absolutely incredible. With that said, let's really dive into this, okay? The Atlanta Braves winning streak started on June 1st, okay, beginning of this month. They won the final game in a series against the Diamondbacks that they lost, okay? Then they go to Colorado. The bats get hot. They sweep a four-game set, so that was their first five. They then win two against Oakland. They then go to Pittsburgh, win four against them, and now they're playing the Washington Nationals, or they just played the Washington Nationals, and they swept them as well. I'm not saying that the Braves can't continue to win. I'm not saying that the Braves aren't a playoff team, because going into the year, if you remember, I thought it was 1A, 1B. And even if I thought the Mets had a slight edge, I never would have ventured to guess that the Braves would be on the outside looking into the playoffs by the season's end. Now, what we saw early in the season, it did have me wondering what this team had long term. And what I thought was that the Mets had an opportunity to really put their foot down on this division, you know, really, lock things up and put the Braves in the uncomfortable position where they could have been at the trade deadline looking at a player like Dansby Swanson and saying, well, you know, He's going to be a free agent next year. Maybe they didn't want to pay him, and maybe they could have gotten to a point this year where the Mets would have had such a big lead on the division that they could have potentially let this year pass, right? But there was still so much time left to play with before we got to the trade deadline. And what the Braves have just done is they've just put themselves right back in the mix, and they just erased their bad start at the beginning of the season. All those games that they shouldn't have been losing, well, now they're winning them. And a big part of it is they now are getting production from their outfield. They're getting no production throughout the early parts of the season. They had that guy, I don't even remember how to pronounce his last name. There was a lot of consonants in it. Travis Demeter. Demeter, I don't even remember. Travis D. I remember he was in their lineup for a while, getting a lot of run and producing nothing. You had Adam Duvall out there, not giving them much offensively. At times, Ozuna struggling offensively. Just not great production from the outfield. You get Ronald Acuna Jr. back. It took some time, but he started to get hot. And then also you promote Michael Harris the third. Is it the third or the second? Now I'm not sure. I said the third with confidence, and immediately it's the second. Because usually you would say Michael Harris Jr., right? But they're going with Michael. He goes with Michael Harris the second. But Michael Harris, he brings a whole new dimension to their ball club. He's a speedster. He plays great defense in center field. He's getting on base. He's doing well. You got Acuna playing like an MVP. Just this week on Just Baseball, I wrote an article about why Ronald Acuna Jr. is a great dark horse to win the MVP this year, because last week I hopped on the odds and threw a little flyer on him at plus 3,000. I think this week when I checked, it was at plus 1,400. That shows you how much money is coming in on Acuna right now. But this is a player who missed last year at the end with that knee injury, had to watch his team win a World Series, missed the first month of the year, has come back, and in his first, what was it, I think 27 games or something along those lines, he already had, it was 37, he had 11 stolen bases, he already does have 11 steals, his WRC plus, last time I checked, was over 150, so he's hitting 50% better than your league average hitter. He's on a tear, and Ronald Acuna Jr. can be the best player in baseball. That's how good the guy is. He is the embodiment of a five-tool player. So when they get him going, obviously you're going to start winning a lot of games, particularly against bad competition. But you look at what they have moving forward. And they got a three-game set against the Cubs in Chicago. That's a little bit easy as well. The Cubs have not been good this year. But then they play four against the Giants in Atlanta. They then have to face off against the Dodgers. They then play the Phillies. They got the Cardinals coming up. Then they play the Mets in July. There is some teams here on the Braves' upcoming schedule that are to give them a little bit more of a push than what they've been getting recently, and they're due to start losing. Now, I'm not going to say that they're going to fall off entirely, but I don't think they're going to win 24 in a row. If I'm wrong, hell, they deserve to have a division lead if they win 24 games in a row. But the thing I would point out now is this is not the Mets letting a division slip away from them. This is the Braves playing great baseball, and the Mets are still doing what they're supposed to do. They're still, 6-4 in their last 10. They still have the best record in the entire National League. The Dodgers have a 30-23 record. The Cardinals 37-27. The Padres is actually 39-24. So they're actually the next closest when it comes to the win total. But the Braves now are with the class of the National League with 37 wins. They're 10 games over. So what you really have to do is credit the Braves, but not fault the Mets and lose hope in the Mets, because the Mets have done nothing at this point to really make you worry. I mean, again, I'm not worried about a Mets team that loses to the reigning Cy Young when they're throwing out there their pitcher in David Peterson, who was eighth on the depth chart going into the season, or maybe seventh, right? So with all that said, the Braves, still a good team. I think that these teams will battle it out all year, but don't freak out too much at the moment. This is not a time to panic entirely, because the Mets have still done what you would expect of them lately. They were 5-5 on that road trip. They handled business before that, sweeping two series in a row against some of the worst teams in their division, in the Phillies and the Nationals. And now on the other side of it, on the other side of that West Coast trip and that long stretch there, They're 1-1 in a series against the Brewers, who, you know, are two games back now of the Cardinals, but they held the NL Central lead for a long time this year. They're not a bad ball club by any stretch. We'll see if the Mets can get the job done, win another series, and then they get to play the Marlins this weekend, and we'll see how they fare against them for the first time. What I want to do next, though, is talk a little bit about James McCann. He will be starting a rehab assignment. Are the Mets content with their catching situation as is? I want to go through that a little bit in just a minute. But first, I want to tell you about LinkedIn Jobs, because they're here to make it easier for you to find people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. Again, that's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. To post your job for free, terms and conditions apply. You know how our friends at Built are always coming out with new amazing flavors? Well, this time Built has truly outdone themselves with their new mud pie flavor. And for the first time ever, Built is introducing not only the new mud pie flavor for their traditional Built bars, the mud pie bar, but also a mud pie puff. If you're not sure what a mud pie tastes like, you're going to love it if you're a chocolate fan. The new mud pie bar is rich with whipped cream and chocolate mousse, smothered in 100% real chocolate and topped with cookies and cream crumble. The mud pie bars and puffs are available at built.com right now, but they're going to go fast because they're just that delicious and they're only available for a limited time. Like all built bars, again, they come covered in 100% real chocolate, which means that not only are they healthy, they're also tasty. What's great about Built is that all their bars are made with a collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Eat something that tastes good and is good for you by going to built.com and make sure when you're there, use the promo code LOCK15 to get 15% off your next order. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. So James McCann will begin a rehab assignment on Thursday. Could be back with the Mets maybe as soon as next week. We'll see how things fare for him on that rehab stint. Obviously has to see how that catching hand is, right, that he has been, you know, rehabbing and letting heal up to this point. Once that's cleared and good to go, as it obviously is with this rehab assignment starting, it shouldn't take too long to ramp back up into game shape. When he first went down, James McCann was talking about, you know, catching with his opposite hand, his throwing hand, so he could stay into game shape as far as, you know, the squatting and everything else that comes with catching. And because it was just a hand injury, you know, athletically speaking, he was still able to keep himself in pretty good condition. Only question was when could he start swinging and hitting and all those things. So now that he has that in line, this should not take too long. And once he is back, you're looking at McCann and Nito as your backstop. The question is that enough for the Mets this season? And if not, what do they do to address it? Well, we've already talked about a Wilson Contreras-type trade. That's still on the table. Now, because McCann's coming back at this point, I don't foresee that until the deadline. I did make an argument when McCann first went down that the Mets could pull the trigger on a quick deal, but also I understood the idea that maybe they would want to sit back and see how things played out. And they've been able to survive this stretch with Nito and Mazika, where I don't think really anyone has been pointing to these guys and saying, yeah, they really need an upgrade. And now you're getting one in James McCann, because whatever you want to say about McCann, he certainly has more offensive potential than either of these guys. And when you hear Chris Bassitt talk about how comfortable he was throwing to McCann, I think his leadership has been missed a little bit as well when it comes to the pitching staff. So now you're going to have your two really solid defensive catchers manning the backstop again. And really, I think that could be the move for the Mets for the remainder of this season. I don't think they have to address the position. And honestly, now that you got through that stretch, I'm not as all in on Contreras. I think that Contreras makes a lot of sense. I think he'd be the best right-handed DH on this team right now. And because of that, it still is a move I would consider. But I don't think it is one that you have to overpay for. And you also have Francisco Alvarez sitting in the minor leagues as this really interesting wild card where I don't expect the Mets to promote him this year. But he's pushing for it. And he's, you know, clearly made his intention of making the big leagues known from spring training on. Every time he gets in front of a mic, he says he wants to be in the big leagues this year. If he continues to hit, he's not going to make it easy on the Mets to deny him of that. Now, they're most likely just going to promote him up to AAA at some point and let him play out the remainder of the season there. But I wouldn't rule it out entirely. So that's always this high ceiling, crazy move the Mets could go to call on the 20-year-old catcher and let him come up. But I think that the way this team has functioned, Nito and McCann should be fine for the rest of this season. I have been of the belief that when you have a DH in particular, defense becomes even more paramount with your catcher because you can absorb a little bit of a weaker bat in that spot because you don't have the pitcher spot in your lineup as well. This isn't, you know, back in the days where your eighth and ninth hitter, if it was your backup catcher and your pitcher, was just two automatic outs. Instead, that catcher might be batting ninth. And this year, we've seen Tomas Nito come up in a lot of big spots and get clutch hits. And I think James McCann is capable of doing that as well. Throughout the rest of this season, I think that that catcher spot should really be prioritized for the defensive value. And even if you look at Wilson Contreras, the two guys the Mets have are better defensive catchers than Contreras as well. So I don't look at that as a glaring concern, but if the Mets offense struggles at some point leading into the trade deadline, maybe that is a move they would consider. I think that when you're looking right now at Mark Vientos, who just homered again today, has, I believe it's 10 home runs in his last 21 games. And you're also looking at Francisco Alvarez tearing the cover off the ball. You look at Jake Mangum, who was tearing the cover off the ball before he went down with his injury. Now he's back into the mix. I like the idea of this Mets team that has been functioning so well resorting to the minor leagues first before trades, because I think they can stockpile their prospect capital and utilize that in the future. I don't know if this is necessarily the season where they have to go to that prospect capital to put the team over the top, because right now I just don't know how glaring their needs really are. Anyway, that's going to be all for today's edition of Locked On Mets. On tomorrow's show, I will recap the final game of this series against the Brewers and preview what lies ahead against the Marlins. Also, it will be a Friday Farm Report, so a jam-packed show. We'll try to squeeze all of that into one final episode for the week. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you follow, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, at Finkelstein Ryan. Follow the show, at Locked On Mets. Thank you for making Locked On Mets your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, check out Locked On MLB, hosted by Paul Francis Sullivan. Locked On MLB is where you want to go to stay up to date with everything going on in Major League Baseball. You can follow Locked On MLB wherever you get podcasts.